Detailers. The entry-level coding game started in 2016 with Anyo Ceramic Coatings. With its unique single-layer composite technology, Anyo allows detailers to achieve greater levels of success faster. With an application cost under $15, the deepest gloss levels and ability to apply in under 1 hour makes Anyo perfect for daily drivers needing 2 years of protection. That's right, 2 years protection for under $15 per install. And because you're a listener, get an additional 15% off with code DETAIL15. So get the coding that launched the entry-level coding game while others are just now trying to change their game. Anyo Ceramic Coatings, available on the Detail Supply app. And remember to use the code DETAIL15 to save 15% off your purchase.
Hey, y'all, it's Noxie. Thanks for listening to the Detailed Solutions podcast. And now, a little bit more about one of our sponsors. Alex, have you heard about the paint assassins on Facebook?
No, Noxie. What's that?
I'm glad you asked, you wrinkled little booby. Paint Assassins was started by a dude named Jason Bruno to where detailers can find the camaraderie that they're looking for without any of the negative trolling bullshit like other Facebook groups. Not only that, but they can compete with their work weekly, monthly, or yearly to win prizes. Oh, dude. And they make sick merchandise, so you always have fresh gear to wear.
Whoa.
Anyway, y'all want to check it out? Again, it's Paint Assassins on Facebook or Instagram. Check it out.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions podcast, What's on Your Mind episode. As always, I've got my right-hand man, Jason Bruno, co-hosting with me. And tonight we brought on Mike. So everybody probably remembers from the Gen episode, we talked about getting a negative review and you know how we kind of deal with that. Mike messaged me a couple days after the episode dropped, and I didn't even want to text him. I just gave him my phone number and told him to call me as soon as he had some time. Probably 5 or 10 minutes later, got a phone call from Mike. We talked about why he left a negative review, hashed it out, turned it into a positive review. So welcome, Mike. How are you doing?
Thank you, Alex. I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Both you and Jason.
So let's, obviously the topic is turning a negative into a positive, the negative review. I know you expressed to me, you know, kind of what was going through your mind at the time, but for Jason and for everybody else, you know, what led you to, you know, leave a negative review at the time?
I'm in the shop working, and first of all, I want to start by prefacing this. You two really have the best podcast in detail.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot.
It does.
And nothing against you, Marty, if you're listening. I really love your podcast also, but you know, Jason and Alex center more towards the stuff I like. You know, I'm 63 years old. I was in business for 23 years before I went into management. I've had enough business, you know. Right. I kind of like what Jason and Alex. So nothing against you, Marty, at all, if you are listening.
We love you, Marty.
Yes, we do. And I'm in the shop working, my grandson's with me, and yeah, the F-bombs are flying. And so understand this. I hold you guys way up here on a mountain.
Right.
Because you're doing, for me, what a lot of the YouTubers are doing for me and people of my level. You're making it real. You're helping me out immensely. And I just looked up to you guys and I'm thinking, they're better than this. Right. They don't have to do this. They really are better. And damn it, I'm mad.
Right.
And I made the, you know, I'm very careful with social media. I made a mistake and I was absolutely wrong. I could have tried to figure out a way to contact you and express what I had to say
right
to both of you directly. And instead I acted out of emotion. And I, at the time I didn't realize the damage I did or the damage that the psychological damage that I put on you and the show that I look forward to every morning at 5 a.m. when I get up. Oh, wow. I listen to a portion of your show.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that 3-hour one took me a week to listen to. but I listen to it. I listen to it while I'm getting ready for work. I listen to it on my way to work.
Right.
You know, then when you were on the, when you came on the podcast and you talked about it, I thought, you know, Mike, if you are the man you want everybody else to be and you aspire to be, then you have to do the right thing here. You have to one, take down the review.
Right.
And then you have to figure out a way to get a hold of Alex and make amends and right. then get a hold of Jason and make amends. And that's why I'm here tonight. And
exactly.
That's why I'm talking to both of you right now, because yeah. I feel that that's what a man should do.
No. And I mean, I really appreciate it, you know, because again, like I said on that, on the podcast, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know who Mike is. I don't, you know, there's no way for, you know, unfortunately with Apple, there's no way for me to respond and just say, you know, hey, Mike, I'm sorry that, you know, you felt that way. Like if there's anything I can do. So I'm glad, because when we talked about it on the podcast, I, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, here's this one guy, Mike, who just happened to listen to an episode where we went crazy, because we don't, I mean, you've listened to enough of the podcast. That's one in a few where, you know, the F-bombs have been dropped, probably however they were dropped or whatever. I mean, they slip out here and there, but, you know, we're not sailors for the most part.
I'm a soldier.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You know,
but you know what I mean? Like we're not cursing like sailors all the time, so to speak. Right. Like
they speak, look, Alex, you can speak for yourself. I do curse a lot. And no, I know that.
So,
I know.
So Jason, as you know, forgive me. I'm an old guy
mm-hmm.
and don't think for 1 minute I'm talking down to you. Do you listen to other podcasts? Do you listen to other podcasts?
Right.
Do you ever listen to Jocko Willink?
No.
Oh, you'll love him. But you'll never hear him drop it. Okay. He probably has, what the heck's the name of his podcast? Darn. He's a former Navy SEAL. Look him up. You'll love his podcast.
I bet okay? I will. I mean,
Real good guy. My point to you is you all are leaders.
Right.
Okay. And that's, again, you know, my wife is a mental health counselor and she tells me this all the time, Mike, hold people up too high. And when you hold these people up way too high, they have the long way down to fall.
Right.
And when they fall, they crash.
Yeah.
So, you know, you bear the responsibility.
And again, I mean, you know, I think we've done a fairly well job. I will admit that, you know, it happens. But again, you know, a lot of times it becomes, you know, Jen had the perfect phrase for it. I know she's talked about it on Marty's podcast and other things is shop talk, right? Like this kind of becomes, we're sitting around in the shop and we're speaking freely. And if sometimes that's how we express ourselves, you know, not to say that it's the best way to do it, but sometimes, you know, to get a point across, you have to grab somebody with a word. And sometimes, you know, saying the F word gets people's attention, like, oh, you know, and they're, you grabbed them with that word and they're listening. So, I mean, you know, I am so glad that you, because like I was saying, so again, in my mind, I'm thinking Mike is this one guy who, you know, randomly, because the podcast has been growing, is somebody out there that's not in Paint Assassins, that's not in Detailers Guild, not in, you know, wherever else I'm posting this, who just stumbled across this, found this one episode. We went crazy with the F-bomb, didn't like it, never going to listen to it again. So my hope was, and thankfully it did happen, that we talked about it and, you know, you did catch it and you were able to hear it so that we could have a conversation on the phone to where we invite you onto the podcast because we want to talk about it. And it's, you know, it's something that I don't want to just like, you know, sweep under the rug or just say, well, whatever, we made amends. Like, I want everybody else to know, hey, not only did we make amends, but Mike had a pretty cool, you know, story about it. And he's got a pretty cool background. We wanted to bring him on and give him some time on the podcast as well.
So before we go forward with this, I have a question for Mike.
Yeah.
So do you have a charity organization that you like to, you know, donate to or anything?
My wife has spent the past 10 years, as I said, she's a mental health counselor. She spent several years with the Veterans Outreach Center here in Rochester, New York.
Awesome.
We've donated to that. And she recently, she lost her funding 2 or 3 years ago. She was head of wellness there and then went on to Warriors Salute here in Rochester, New York. She lost her funding there. And I told her, you know, we can continue to support veterans, but you need to get out of the not-for-profit business.
Right.
And now she's doing telehealth, which is, you know, a business that sprung out of COVID. And we both my wife and I support pretty much any veteran. I'm a vet, and pretty much any vet organization that we can help out with, we support.
Well, here's my deal for tonight. Any F-bomb that I drop, I'll put $5 in a swear jar and I'll donate that to whatever organization you want.
Any vets organization you can come up with, brother.
So that will be the deal for tonight.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yep.
I'm gonna do my best not to. So
how do we coax the F word out of him, Mike? I mean, come on.
We don't have to drop
very casually for me. So look, I even have a little glass here. You can't really see it with my green screen, but I have a glass here that, you know, I'll put $5 in every time I drop an F-bomb, and, you know, whatever the end result is, I'll donate that.
I could just hear future podcasts every time you drop an F-bomb. Mike, I just dropped $5 in that jar for you. And I do want to say that every podcast you guys have done, I've listened to probably twice, maybe three times.
That's awesome, dude.
You did tell me that, and that's awesome.
So since you're a vet, man, I want to talk about your service, man. And thank you for your service as well.
Thank you.
You know, it's, you know, veterans like you that paved the way for veterans like myself.
Yeah, I'm nothing special.
It don't matter. You're a veteran. You served, you signed the dotted line. That means more than a lot of, you know, other people in the country. You know, we're the one percenters.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the 70s, and you know, I don't talk about it. Okay. I prefer not to.
That's absolutely fine. And I totally understand.
Sometime when I meet you and we're at a bar, sitting and have a couple of drinks, maybe we'll talk about it.
I totally understand, brother.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I have a question that I haven't asked you yet in the couple of times that we've talked. So how did you come across the podcast?
In my search, I study. Okay. I by trade, I'm a carpenter. Came out of the service in 79. Was supposed to go to work like everybody else in Rochester at Kodak, and elected to become a carpenter. There's a magazine called Fine Home Building. I, at one time, had every issue that Fine Home Building ever developed. We didn't have YouTube or podcasts from 1979 to 1998. Right. I had every issue.
Oh, wow.
I studied, I learned, you know, besides the practical experience. I have somewhat of a union background, so I had some education in the field, but everything that I learned and developed, you know, that's just how I went about it. I studied, you know, I knew when I was younger that nobody would want to pay a 50 year old carpenter the money that I would want to make. So I studied project management and went in and closed my business in 2002 and went into project management. When I decided to get more involved in detailing, it was all about the study.
Right.
I studied YouTube videos for 12 months before I put a polisher in my hand.
Wow.
And when I did put a polisher in my hand, I took a rotary and... Well, after burning up, I don't know, 5 or 6 panels from the junkyard, I took a rotary to my 04 C5 Corvette.
Right.
And polished it out, then refined it with the 4K.
Nice.
I just study. So in my, you know, I'm in the twilight of my construction career. I'm in upper management. I've been in it 42 years. I'm no longer a carpenter. I'm in management. So when I build a building, I build buildings from $15 to $50 million.
Right.
Building. I don't get what I got when I was a carpenter after building something with my hands. I don't get that shot of dopamine.
Right.
I finished... A year and a half ago, I finished a $35 million building in downtown and walked away from it and said, where's the next job?
Right.
You know, I get enough. 5 or 6 years ago when I did that with my Corvette, I got an immense shot of dopamine. I went into the house. I said to my wife, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn that 3-car garage into a detail shop. And when I retire, I'm going to detail.
Right.
And I just started studying every video, you know, and, you know, I just study. So I'm always looking for knowledge.
Right.
So I just kept, you know, the Optimum used to have a pretty good podcast. Larry Casillo, God bless him.
Right.
He's got podcasts, I think back to 2012. I've listened to them all 10 times.
Yeah.
I got to memorize. So I'm constantly searching on iTunes for detail. I ran across your show. I don't know. Maybe you were 5 or 6 into it.
Oh, wow.
And I went back and listened to them all. And I've been listening to them ever since. I found Marty's show. Actually, no. You know how I found your show? I think, Alex, you were on Marty's show, weren't you?
Yep.
You and Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno had me on for the Pain Assassin Hour.
Yeah, and that's how I found your show. And then I just went back and listened to everything.
Right, right.
And I've been a loyal follower ever since. And that's what's got me so frustrated with myself is I said to myself that day, what if people quit listening to him because of your dumbass review?
Right.
And for that, Bruno, I've asked Alex this. I got to ask you, please forgive me.
Oh, dude. I already made amends. Like, I didn't take any offense to it. Yeah. I mean, I understand that, you know, I do have a potty mouth and, you know, sometimes it goes, you know, further than, you know, I intend it to.
Right.
But I mean, when I heard about the bad review, I mean, I was just like, you know, I told Alex, I said, hey, you know, it happens. It sucks that it did, but yeah, it happens. And then when he told me that, you know, you reached out to him and it turned into a positive review, I was very happy. But I wasn't mad at all. I mean, I say this to a lot of people, like, I am who I am. And, you know, you either love me or you hate me, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, it's kind of like an eye opener. You know, I listened to what Alex said, what you had to say about it. And, you know, it made me take a step back and look at it. And like, you know, I could clean up my language. Absolutely. And, you know, it like I said, it's an eye opener. So,
yeah, well,
a lot of positive comes from it.
Right. And at the same time, you know, we don't want you to be something different than you are. But right, I think the whole beauty of it, and again, that's why I like the phrase turning a negative into a positive, because mm-hmm, it's hitting on multiple levels. We didn't just change the negative review to a positive, right? We took a negative situation and we were able to have a discussion on one podcast with Jen to kind of get an idea and talk about how do negative reviews affect you, you know, whether it's business wise, podcast wise, YouTube, whatever. And then now as a positive, we've got Mike on and we're able to talk about it a little bit more. Yep. So, you know, to me, I almost start looking at that negative review now as being kind of a blessing in a sense, because and not like Jason saying, like, it's an eye opener to kind of watch what we say, because I mean, I, for the most part, try to censor myself. I mean, I've got an 11-year-old daughter who does know what curse words are. She does not say them. I don't care what Aaron Knox says. you know, when she's offering me $5 just to say the word shit, because she wants to say it so bad. You know, that, like, you know, just if you're gonna say it, you know, just don't say it around, don't say it where I can hear you, kind of thing. So I mean, I do censor myself as much as I can, but you know, when I get in the moment and the heat and everybody, you know, like, it happens. I mean, it's right. Shot talk, but
I've been in construction 42 right. years,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
my now 36-year-old son, when I took him to work and gave him to one of my guys when I had the business, and I said, okay, you now work for Ray. After two nights, his mother asked him, so Luke, what do you think about construction? He says, Mom, it's a real noisy place. But I was thinking today, if they took the F word out of the English vocabulary, it'd be quiet as church mice.
Yeah. And I can see that, you
so
know,
I get it.
But, you know, again, for everybody who's listening, who's maybe catching this episode as the first one, not all our episodes are F-bomb laden. We just happen to have a few. Mike caught one. so no, you know, again, I mean, you know, I think it ended up being a good thing. I mean, it gave us a topic on another episode. It's giving us a topic now. And, you know, we could all come together and understand what, why, how, you know, and I just, again, I think it's just become a positive thing, and I'm very excited for it. I was extremely excited when you, you know, reached out to me. I was at the mall with the wife, and you know, that whole 20 minutes, 30 minutes, we were having a conversation on the phone. I'm walking around the phone, walking around the mall with my wife, not paying attention to her, because that was more important to me at the moment, was,
right,
was having that conversation with you, understanding why, you know, you had that feeling to leave a negative review. And honestly, I didn't want to be at the mall anyway, so whatever. Because I wasn't buying anything for me, so why did I want to go? So yeah, I mean, that's what I've got.
It correlates with our industry. I mean, a lot of negative stuff goes on in our industry as a whole. And
oh, for sure.
You know, a lot of people just don't take the time like we are to talk it out.
Yeah.
And see both sides.
Right. And we also get that, you know, car wash mentality, you know, people look at us as car washers, you know, and, you know, they just like, scum of the earth, you know, car washers, you know? So again, you know, like you said, it's something we deal with on a regular basis of being negative. So
it's a tough ass trade.
Yep.
Being a detailer.
It is.
It's tough, you know? But we're entering a new phase. In my day, it was acceptable.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's getting tougher.
Everything, you know, you two are already leaders, and I can sit back and look and say, these two guys can make a serious impact.
Right.
These two guys can make a really big impact. And with the situation we're in today with social media and people that can come at you and attack you, I'm like, these guys are better than that.
Yeah.
They got to be prepared for what's coming their way. They're leaders. And, you know, 20 years ago when I got into management, the guy leading me around told me, you know, you're a leader now. You have to conduct yourself much differently.
No, yeah, and I think you're absolutely right, you know. But again, you know, I'm not going to talk for Bruno. I will talk for myself. At the end of the day, I'm just me. I'm just Alex.
Right.
I'm still a detailer. I'm still the guy who, you know, as much as I censor myself for the most part, you know, certain words do slip out. You know, so, you know, I even look, you know, one of my guys that I look up to in this industry, you know, Rennie. I mean, Mr. Bruno with his all celebrity status being on the Rennie Doyle podcast last week or week ago or whatever it was, 2 weeks now. Yeah. I was very shocked when Rennie dropped the F-bomb.
Three times.
Right.
You and me both.
Three times. Bruno opted him by two.
Right. Now, not to say like, oh, because Rennie did it, I can do it. But no. Again, like somebody at that level, yeah, you know, it's not killing him. And again, when he said it, I think it was, you know, again, it was an attention grabber kind of word. And I don't know. I mean, I sometimes think, you know,
listen, I'm not above it.
No, I get it. But for me, I just feel like I'm so desensitized to that word. Like I've used it so much in my lifetime. I've heard it so much in my lifetime. It almost doesn't have meaning to it, right? Like they say, like, if you're, you know, take the meaning away or take the shock value away. The more you use something or the more you do something or, you know, whatever, you don't give it that power anymore, kind of deal. And to me, it's almost just kind of become a word. I'm kind of having to relearn that it is a negative word, a curse word, whatever, because now I have an 11-year-old daughter and I don't want her, I don't want to get called to the principal's office like, hey, your daughter's just running around like F-bomb, you know, because I'm going to go in there and be like, well, she must have learned it at the school because we don't talk like that at home. you know, so I am having to, you know, reevaluate the word, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm still just me. I'm still a guy. I still have flaws. I still have imperfections. You know, I appreciate that you are holding myself and Jason to a leader status. I know Jen had mentioned that, you know, as much as maybe we don't think about it, we are mentors, we are influencing people by doing this. And sometimes that doesn't even compute to me, right? Like it's,
yeah, sometimes it's hard to grasp.
Right. I mean, it's, I, again, it's just me. Like, you know, we're having a podcast, we're having a conversation, like, it's hard for me to think of being somebody's mentor. Like I still have people that I'm asking daily, you know, what do I do? How do I do? Like, you know, kind of deals. So, I mean,
you both are mentoring a tremendous amount of people.
Thank you.
You both are mentoring a tremendous amount of people, and you're even mentoring an old guy. Imagine right, that. Right.
And listen, you're not my first old guy. All right. Okay. I'm gonna throw a little shout out to my buddy who doesn't even listen to the podcast. Bill York.
He's in New York too, ain't he?
No, he's in Massachusetts.
Oh, he's
in, No, he's in Maine. Maine. Yeah. But he calls me every now and then and checks in on me and asks me what's the latest that I'm doing or using or whatever. And, it's nice when people, you know, shoot me a text or call me or something and ask me. I try to help them as best as I can, because again, I've said it before, had that person not helped me, you know, I wouldn't be able to get to be anywhere or where I'm at, you know, right now. So I feel like I need to pass it on. I need to, you know, pass it forward or whatever, pay it forward, whatever the deal is. So, yeah. I mean, I'm glad we're influencing somebody, I guess.
Yeah. And understand this, the kids aren't coming into the trades.
Right.
The younger kids are not coming into the trades. We're almost epidemic with lacking labor. And everything we can do, we have some classes that are going through the construction site, young urban kids that are taking certain classes and they're going through the construction site, and they watch. Every tour I give them, they watch every word I say.
Right.
They watch how I present myself and what I'm all about. And we have to bring kids into the trades, whether it's detailing or electrical or plumbing or whatever it is.
Right.
We have to bring them into the trades. Right. And it's very respectable. And, you know, I'm all about that. I do as much work as I can to help bring that along. And I think detailing is, it's what an honor to work on somebody's car.
Right.
Whether it's a.
It's their second biggest investment next to their house. I mean, for the most part.
And you know, it's just, you know, I did a SUV 2 or 3 months ago that was just absolutely covered in dog hair, absolutely covered,
right,
head to toe. I spent 8 hours getting the dog hair out.
Jeez.
And I decided I normally do the exterior first and then finish into the interior. Well, you know, while I'm waiting for a coating to cure or whatever. Right. And I attacked that interior first and I got that done. And I'm thinking all along, you know, I got to make it perfect for this woman. She walked into my shop and she asked me not to put the video on my Facebook. She started crying.
Right.
You know, she just burst, and she was, at first she was looking at her gloss on her car, but when she opened the door, she just burst into tears. And what an honor it is to work on somebody, whether it's a mom SUV or somebody's Porsche. It's very, as Sandro from Carcraft Auto says, it's an honor.
Yeah.
It's definitely rewarding.
It is.
Very, yeah. Very.
I mean, when they are, oh, wow, or, you know.
Oh, burst shit. Into tears.
Yeah, or burst. I've never had anybody burst into tears. I guess I'm not that good.
Well, when you get into interiors, Alex, that's what happens.
Yeah.
One thing I've learned is women like shiny paint, but they really get off on a good interior.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do enough interiors to do that. So, although I've got a real beauty coming up on Thursday. I wish the guy wouldn't have called me back. I priced it high purposely because I did not. Well, I mean, it's
yeah, but that's what you're supposed to do, man.
I know.
You posted it high.
I know.
And hope for him either to take it so it's worth it, or you just dodge a bullet.
I know he took it. I think it's worth it, but I still don't want to do it. It's so bad. It's got that smell in it. When he brought it by last week for me to just do a consultation visit and quote him a price, I could still smell that smell in my nose for the rest of the day. And all I did was like poke my head in the door to look at things. And I could still smell
it. But it's going to be rewarding when you're done and you get it right.
I mean, I guess. I don't know.
Will be. Shut your mouth.
I'll let you know if he cries.
I have a rule. If I've got to take the seats out, I'm not doing it.
I don't do seats. I don't take seats out.
My rule. I've turned down a few pretty bad interiors, but if I've got to take the seats out, I won't do it.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of guys and gals who do it. For me, it's just an insurance red flag. Like, what if I don't put something back in right?
Yeah,
you know, where they have an accident, it's on me. I mean, I got a buddy of mine who's the master Tesla mobile tech, because Tesla doesn't have any like service areas, right? They just send a mobile tech out to you, and he's the master mobile tech here in Central Florida. And he was doing one of my clients had spilled something, it had gotten into the air vent underneath the seat, which then kind of channels into underneath the center console to the air conditioning system. So the client had bought new carpet. My friend had gone over there, pulled the seats out, pulled the carpet out, cleaned everything up. But in doing so, pulling out the seats, and this guy's a master technician for Tesla. I mean, before he worked at Tesla, he was a master technician at Mercedes-Benz for years. I mean, he's not just a shade tree mechanic. And when he was pulling the seat out or putting the seat in, he stripped one of the bolts.
Yeah.
And then had to go and replace that, which, I mean, so like even that, I mean, if you're taking a seat out or putting a seat in, you strip a bolt and you don't have the capability of being able to fix it before the client picks it up, you're going to send them off on a wobbly seat, you know, kind of deal or whatever. So yeah, I mean, seats for me, taking them out, it's no go. I move them forward, move them back, get the best I can, but yeah, that's it. We're not going there. All right. So 40 minutes on negativity. Let's switch over to, so Mike, you've already kind of explained a little bit. You've been in construction, how you got into detailing and stuff like that, but you know, give us a little bit of you know, what exactly you're doing. I mean, are you doing the detailing part-time, or is it kind of full, or I mean, are you doing it full-time, or is it kind of part-time?
No, right now it's part-time. I'm I've limited myself to 3 vehicles a month.
Okay.
I texted you about a BMW I've got coming in.
Yes, sir.
That's a 3-week job. And because I'm in the, you know, 3 weeks, well, no, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Because you're only working on a couple days here, a couple days there.
Yeah. You know, so I'm at my site at 6 a.m. I get home at 4, and that gives me 2 or 3 hours to work on it at night.
Right.
And then I can hit it 8 to 10 hours on Saturday, 8 to 10 hours on Sunday, and get up and do it all over again. And it's, you know, I don't normally take one like that.
Yeah.
Or look for those type of details. I kind of like that $800 to $1,000 detail that you and I were talking about.
Where, right.
You know, I do an interior with that. So I don't do a shampoo, but I do a clean interior with that.
Right.
And so that's drop it off on Friday night. I try to get my wash and decon done on Friday night. And then Saturday is I'll either do the interior first or the enhancement. And then go right into correction, or it depends on what I'm using for. If I'm using CarPro, like CarPro Lite, I told you I use a lot of.
Yeah.
I'll do the correction, and I'll get a coat on Saturday, and then Sunday morning I'll get up, get another coat on, and then do the interior.
Right.
Or I may have time on Saturday to get 2 coats on, which is cool, because then I can have them pick it up Sunday night.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you this. I've been using before I put CSL on my NXO on my truck, I guinea pigged it with several different products. And along with CarPro Lite, I get 12 months even in the New York salt out of Texas's Moonlight.
Wow.
If I can keep them out of the tunnel wash.
Yeah.
We have a pretty sophisticated tunnel wash that's out of Germany here in Rochester called Delta Sonic.
Okay.
And, but still it's a tunnel wash, and it beats the heck out of the vehicle.
Oh, of course.
So if I can talk them into the touchless, we have several touchless washes. I can talk them into that, and they come to me every 3 months. I can make Moonlight last a year. And I like that. I like that product a lot.
I haven't used it myself. I've got a couple of buddies who have used it, and they love it because it's a spray on, right? If I remember correctly.
No, this is.
Or is it actually a different one?
That's their topper.
Okay.
What I do is I spray it. They do have sprayers that it comes with.
Right.
But after one use, the sprayer shot.
Gotcha.
So I just put it into a microfiber pad and apply it that way.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's a wipe. It's like light, where it's wipe on, wipe off.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you let it sit for a few minutes or so and then wipe it off.
Yeah.
Ideal. Yeah.
Then wipe it off.
Right.
And, you know, it's, you know, heck, I can get.
You get eight months, 8 to 12 months out of it.
See this?
Yeah.
See this?
Yeah.
That's done 15 vehicles.
Oh, man. That's the beauty of that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I like Premier so much, because I mean, I can get what's Premier come in? 500 mil bottles.
Yeah.
You know, and your one or two sprays, if you're wiping it on per panel, or most of the time what I'm doing is I'm putting it on with a black pad. So, you know, one spray on the black pad, do a panel, you know, and a $70 500 mils bottle will last me, you know, forever. and usually I'm getting, anywhere of $500 and up when I put that on a car.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't go wrong with it.
So in February, I did one detail at the beginning of the month, but
right.
You know, we're at our we went through a cold snap, you know, between 10 and 20 degrees. And nobody wants their car detailed in that kind of weather.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I made a bunch of shop improvements, and now I have this BMW scheduled. I got a Genesis coming in for a correction and and an interior after the BMW. So that'll be a week.
Right.
Then I have another Toyota Tundra. I've done four in the past 6 months. Full size pickup that I've got coming in. And, you know, I try to do three plus a month, maybe right. three and a half.
Yeah.
So I've got a weekend to spend with my wife, even though right. I'm home, at least I'm paying more attention to her than I am the vehicle I'm working on.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, your clients obviously don't have any issue leaving it with you for a week at a time so you can work on it in the afternoon.
No,
weekends.
No, it will be a problem in the future. I mean, I'm not as fast as you young guys are.
Right.
And I'm actually looking into getting a loaner. Okay. Have been able to provide a loaner. Right. I think that'd be the smart thing to do. I don't know where the business is going to take me. You know, I signed a 5-year deal last year, so I've got 4 years left in construction.
Okay.
I want to keep going as long as I can.
Right.
I keep myself in fairly decent shape. And I think that's key.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be slower. I'm not going to be as fast as, you know, you young guys are. But I don't care. I'm not in it for the money. It'll be a nice supplement to my retirement.
Right, right. You just
but I'm more into it for the love of the game.
Right.
You know, I'm a big process guy. I love the process.
Bruno, I think what we should do, I think we should put a contest together and see who could do a detail faster, Mike or Ted.
Oh, man. That'd be a good one.
It's tough on me because I, as a carpenter, everything had to be perfect.
Right.
Right.
And now with learning the difference between a paint enhancement, a correction, and everything else is the hardest thing to get by because I want to keep going.
Right.
You know, and I've got my paint gauges going and I'm saying I could go a little more after that. And do I wet sand this? Now, wait a minute. You're doing an enhancement. That's once around the vehicle.
That's Jason's favorite word right there.
Listen,
you know,
he's got the right idea, man.
He does.
You know, so it's my father-in-law, my wife's from Hungary and her parents live with us. And my father-in-law is a tool and die maker. And every vehicle he comes out and he's 77, but he's still got them tool and die maker eyes.
Right.
You know, and he walks around the vehicle and I taught him what a high spot is. So he knows how to find it.
Nice.
And he just looks at me with his Hungarian accent and says, "You're never going to need for work."
Nice.
You know, it's just getting what's perfect and understanding what the customer wants. Ivan LaCroix I've contacted him. I don't know if you guys ever spoke to him. He'd be a great one to have on your show.
I spoke to him once when I first started. I went to Auto Geeks Detail Fest and he was doing a O&R demonstration So I kind of sat in on that and, you know, just talked to him very briefly, but that's pretty much it with my time with Ivan.
I've corresponded back and forth with him, and you know, he's on that line. If you're offering 55 to 60%, that's what you give him.
Right.
Yep.
You know, yep. And that's my biggest mountain to get over.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the hard thing, right? Because especially when you're starting out, you're so unsure of, you know, what people are willing to pay, what you should charge. That was my biggest thing. I mean, I've slowly crept up over the years, you know, which thankfully, you know, my clients that I've had for long term, they understand when I just explain to them, like, look, I can't do it for what I was doing before. I need to charge more to live on, and they get it. And the ones that don't, well, hey, you know, I don't really want to do their cars anymore anyways, because that means they don't value my work the same way. They were only coming to me because I was cheap, and they were getting, you know, top-notch work for car wash prices. So, you know, yeah, I totally understand that. Sorry, I'm trying to text a client and talk to you guys at the same time. So somebody else jumped in.
It's almost here. 9 and you're texting the client.
Listen, homie needs work, all right?
Get that interior work.
No. This is the GT3 RS guy. So I gotta keep him. Yeah, I gotta keep him happy. Okay, so what's on your mind? I mean, so let's so Mike, let's see. So not to talk more about how good Jason and I are, but what are some of the things that, because again, I don't get a lot of time, a lot of chances to talk to a listener, right? Because I mean, everybody's just like, hey, you did a good job. I love the podcast, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. What are some things about the podcast that you really like? What are some things that you don't like? And
what would you like to see in the future?
Right. And if I need to get a different co-host, let me know.
No, I was looking forward to Jason. There's really, you know, other than that one episode, there's really nothing I don't like. I would like to hear you guys speak more of process.
Okay.
Again, I'm a big process guy. I have a 3-ring binder of processes. Okay. Gotcha. That I, you know, I build buildings. You build a $50 million building or a $10 million building, you got to have processes.
Right, right.
And the first thing I do is I put together a schedule, which is my process. So I carried that over into detail. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and I want to shout out, Sandro will probably not listen to this, but yeah, if he does, well, I'm going to email him, trust me.
Okay.
I want to shout out to Sandro because at CarCraft Auto, I think why I gravitate so much towards his videos is he's all about the process.
Right.
You know, and I'll watch the same one 20 times and I'll pick up something 20 times. And iPhone has notes. So yeah. I've got CarCraft Auto notes. You know, and yeah. I would like to, I'm curious about different processes.
Right.
That's one of the things I like about Nick from Vegas when he's on with Marty.
Yep.
When they're not dealing with politics, Nick will get into processes.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I really, you know, I'd like to hear more about that.
Right. Well, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Brian's episode yet that we recorded on Sunday. So the one thing that, and every time I talk to Brian, and you know, I mentioned it in the podcast and just mentioned about how lazy I am. Every time I talk to Brian, his big thing is the write-ups, right? Like the better the write-up, you put that on the internet, it's out there, people can find it. Like it's way better than doing a Facebook deal, right? And actually I messaged Brian yesterday. I'm going to have to get with him tomorrow. I actually asked Brian, you know, if he would help me try to figure that out to grow my business a little bit better on how to do better write-ups. And I think that kind of falls into then maybe being able to, you know, put a process together, right? Because if I can do a write-up on a car, and that's just my thing, right? Like I got to get, I guess, a little more creative with it, because I can't, you know, and that was the thing I said on the podcast. Like, I grabbed, you know, Scholl's S2 Black and put it on a Lake Country Udo pad, and car was, you know, done.
God, like, I love
this. You know, like that's, I mean, to me, that's all, you know, I mean, like I could, but Brian and Todd Helm and Corey Carruth and, like, to me, all those old school detailers who had to do that stuff on forums to be able to gain clientele. I mean, like, you read their stuff and it's like, it's artwork almost in a sense, the way that they write. I mean, the vehicle had this kind of defects. And I know in order to correct that defect, I've got to do this. And so I took this pad. I mean, it's beautiful the way that they write. So that's something that I want to start getting into on a business side, that then maybe once I start getting into it, we can carry it into the podcast somehow, some way, some shape or form. I don't know.
And Jason, I would love to hear your process, whether it's an interior or exterior or whatever you're doing. I would
ask me any question you want, man. I'll explain as best as I can.
Well, no, I want to hear you. He asked me what I want to hear on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love you to just maybe put together a bullet pointed process and say, here's what I do. Here's how I attack a bad interior. Here's how I attack Corvette paint. Here's how I attack Porsche paint. This is my process. Okay. I'm sure you have a system.
Jason, I do. Jason's got a whole book.
Yeah, I got a whole book, man.
He's got a whole book he's writing. Eventually it will come out one day.
Eventually it'll come out. Yeah, I got a whole thing that just talks about like defects, different types of defects.
Right.
Different types of compounds and what different compounds can do, what different polishers can do. It goes very in depth. Like very in depth.
Share it.
I will soon. I mean, I just gotta, you know, figure out how to get all of my notes together in an order that people can understand, and then transfer it into on paper pretty much.
Yeah. Are there any other topics or guests that, okay. So again, you know, this has been, and it always has kind of been, the podcast for the guys and the girls in the trenches. We started the What's on Your Mind podcast, or the What's on Your Mind part of it, for maybe to bring on bigger names so that we're not taken away from giving the average Joe their time and on the podcast, right? Doing the question and answer style. It's also was so that we could bring back people that have been on the podcast that maybe I really liked and I want to talk to them again. You know, like Billy was one, you know, had him on the Q&A, brought him back on the What's on Your Mind. I think he was the only one. Is he the only one? I think he was the only
that
one.
Came back?
Yeah.
No, because we had Mike McCarthy.
Oh, right. Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
Right.
That was very good.
We did bring Mike McCarthy back because, again, he had a different, I mean, telling the story of how he landed a job off the podcast kind of deal. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, I want to be able to grab big guys now that we're gaining a little momentum and people are kind of noticing us. Like, I don't want to say like, oh, we're never going to get a big person. You know what I mean? We've had Jen on, we've had Tommy on, you know, those types of things. You know, but I mean, is there some other way, something else that you think that maybe we throw into the blender? Again, I mean, I want to stay kind of core to what we are. I don't want to start venturing into, you know, things that Marty does, you know, because that's Marty's thing and Marty's a big supporter of us. I don't want to get into, you know, what Rennie Doyle's doing. I don't want to get into what, you know, Matt Mormon's doing or you know, that type of stuff. But, you know, if there's anything that you think that would fit in our, you know, in our little box, our little wheelhouse.
Have you ever given any thought to asking Brian Spelter with Apex to come on? I mean, Brian kind of helped me build the foundation. Yeah, Brian helped me build a pretty good foundation.
I'll say no, and that's only because I just don't know him.
Okay, so he's got a very popular YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
It's called Apex Detail. Check it out. Brian's a really great guy, and he's all about helping details.
Right.
Perfect guy to have on.
Yeah.
Real good guy. Check his podcast out. He does a tremendous amount of product review.
Okay.
So probably anything you want to know about any product, if you went on, you said Apex Detail Tax Systems Moonlight, he's got a thing on. If you go Apex, you know, whatever product you want to know about, he's done a pretty good review, and he's an actual high-end shop in Warren, PA.
Gotcha.
And nothing against Pan the Organizer. He's not that type of reviewer, okay?
Right.
He's the real deal. Him and his son are working in the shop every day. And he really helped me build the foundation that you know, I'm on. I listen to every podcast or every YouTube video he does. But again, I've kind of gone beyond that. I'm not into products. I've taken the Ivan LaCroix path, and I've got, you know, I work with Show Concepts compounds. I work with Rupus compounds and 3D compounds, and that's it. Gotcha. I had to look at my cabin in a minute. Yeah. You know, I've kind of, you know, narrowed myself down so I don't get too product crazy.
Oh yeah. I mean, listen, I've been saying that for the longest time, right? Like, you know, Jason's always trying to get me to try something new, and I'm like, no, I've got enough shit in the cabinet, and you know, I'm a minimalist.
Listen, I only asked you to try one thing.
I am dying to try Koch Chemie's products.
Yeah. Oh dude, so good. H9 is a very good cutting compound.
But I'm just like, no, you got three compounds. When you get them down pat and you understand them,
then you move on to the next.
Then I'll look into Koch Chemie. I mean, I'm dying to try it. I just picked up four hoods today from my body shop. The guy called me. He says, you got $20? I says, yeah, what do you need? He said, I got four hoods for you.
Nice.
And he said, two of them are black.
Oh, perfect.
So they're out behind the shop.
I wish I had that conviction.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're out behind the shop. So, you know, and I was thinking after I picked them up, I should order some of the Koch Chemie and play with it. And then I said, no, you know, I mean, I'm still working on learning S2 black. And I love it. I love it to death. And I'm still working on learning the Rupus stuff.
Listen,
I love
listen
their
for
stuff.
For me, S2 Black, there's no learning.
Bread and butter.
Put it on everything. I mean, it works. It works on everything.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's really good stuff.
I've had
S20's.
Yeah,
great stuff.
Yeah, I've used S20 before. But yeah, S2 Black. I mean, I can put it on light stuff and one step it, you know, so to speak, because it finishes down so much. I can put it on super heavy stuff and it cuts it. Yeah, to me, that one you don't need to learn. You just throw it on everything and it works.
Yeah.
But no, I get it. You know, well, you know, here's kind of my take on usually when I try something new. And I don't know how Koch Kimi works. I haven't really paid a lot of attention to their sizes, but buy the smallest one, buy a 250 mil, you know, for $20, because then, you know, if you don't end up using a lot of it, big deal, it's $20, right? So you just don't go buy four hoods the next time around, you know,
like, yeah,
you know, and then that way, if you do like it, then you buy the bigger bottle, the 32 or the quart or 1,000 mils, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you just always use that 250 mil to fill up, and it's easier to carry a 250 mil around on you on your little, you know, put it in your pocket, put it on your little stool wheel around kind of thing than a big bottle. And that's how I typically do it. I try to buy the smallest of whatever I'm going to try. That way, if it's a bust, it's usually not a lot of money. I can deal with, you know, a $20 or $25 loss, so to speak. But then if I love it, I go buy the big bottle and then I pour into the little bottle, and that's what I have to carry around. So you could always look into that if Koch Kimi's got, you know, a 250 mils or something.
They do.
Do they?
They do. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know exactly what they have.
Yeah. I don't because I looked in the Koch Kimi like way before the craze. Autoality had them, I think, like last year sometime. And everybody I asked about it, nobody had used it. And I was like, well, yeah, you know, I'll leave it. And then kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden everybody's like, Koch Kimi, Koch Kimi, Koch Kimi. And I'm like, I could have been on this boat like way before anybody else. And, you know, bye-bye kind of deal.
Let me ask you something though. Why don't you just buy it and find out for yourself and stop worrying about what other people think about it?
I was going to. Again, I'm a minimalist and I felt like I already had enough stuff. So I was waiting for something to go down. But no, but you know, it wasn't what people said would have deterred me or pushed me towards it. It's, you know, it's the same, you know how it is. You're like, hey man, you know, everybody's making a big, or, you know, have you tried this? What do you think of it? You know, kind of deal. I mean, that's the one thing that Bill York calls me about all the time. You know, he's like, hey, what's this about? You know, have you tried it yet? You know, what do you think about it? Or what have you heard about it? So, you know, it wasn't necessarily because I didn't buy it because nobody had used it kind of deal. It was just, again, I was waiting to use up some other stuff and then kind of completely forgot about it. So
I'm on like the opposite spectrum of Alex. I try like everything.
Right.
And I kind of just do it just so I could like give an honest opinion to somebody if they ask me how I like it, instead of someone like a salesperson trying to sell them something, you know?
Right.
I try to make it as unbiased as I can.
No, I get it. I mean,
my approach is when I go full time, I'll start spreading it out. Right now I need to get good with two or three.
Yeah.
I know if I got to go to the rotary, I'm going to go to the 3D. Because I've had great success with them in the past. For the most part, when I'm I love my force rotation. You know, right. I love my melee and I love the 3401. That's when I do my enhancements. That's what I want to use because I can get around the vehicle in a decent time.
Right.
And I know that Scholl's S20 Black is going to be on my first test spot with an orange pattern or a yellow Rupus. And then I'm going to, you know, I have Scholl concepts and I have I really like the Rupus new stuff out.
Right.
And I do my test spots and I get the clearest, cleanest look I can get and look at my watch and hope I just didn't spend 3 hours doing it.
Right.
And then I move on. But I would, when I go full time, I will definitely try more stuff. You know, being new in the game, you know, only 4 years, you know, I'm trying to keep myself narrowed down.
Right. Right.
You know, but back to Brian, I think he'd be a great guy to reach out to. Look at his stuff on Apex Detail on YouTube.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it.
Another guy that's just a reviewer that would be a lot of fun. Jason would get a big kick out of him. He's really informative. He's really knows his products. He's a big Koch Chemie guy. He's a big Scholl guy. He's John DeLu, Forensic Detail out of the UK. I'm sure if you reached out to him, he would respond.
Right.
And if you could ever get Sandro, I mean, it would be...
Sandro might be tough because what, he's 18 hours ahead of, or no, what he's,
yeah, you might have to do it in the middle of the night. I'll stay up with you, bud.
That's tough. I mean, I've got you know, the UK ones are a bit tough.
6 hours, yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually, so for the Q&A this week, I'm actually talking with Rudy from Rudy, I'm so sorry, I forget. Kaizen Detail. Mm-hmm. And he's 5 hours ahead, so we kind of have to plan for me to actually do it a little bit early for him to still be kind of a decent time. All right, go sleep, love you. We're gonna do it at 5 o'clock on Friday. It'll be 10 o'clock his time, which he's cool with. He doesn't go to bed early like I do. But you know, when we did the SMA, you know, it was the same thing. It was just trying to find the time. Same thing with Chris Kennedy. So not that I don't not want to talk to people from other countries. It's just a little tougher to try to figure out. So Sandro would be a nice one because I mean he's kind of a big CarPro guy. You know, and with starting to use the CarPro stuff now, you know, it'd be a good one. I honestly feel like, and this is kind of another reason why the What's On Your Mind kind of had to come about is I feel like there's too many people, not enough podcasts to, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like if we make a, you know, I mean, when I do the list for the Q&As, which is, you know, kind of like the main, I consider the main podcast, I picked those 9 people, you know, for that one season, because the 10th episode is always a topic episode, you know, and it's okay. I picked 9 people. I'm set for, you know, 2.5 months, 3 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. So these What's On Your Mind ones are kind of, you know, make it easier to kind of fill that stuff in. But even then it's still, I mean, shoot. I mean, we had you booked for this week. We've already got next week booked up. So it's tough. It's tough running a podcast.
You guys are kind of pioneers in the whole thing. There's some other podcasts, but they're either trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
Is you and Marty, you know, you're pioneers in the whole thing.
Right. And that's my thing, right? Like, I don't ever really want us to be a try to sell you something except for on the front end of the podcast with our sponsorship, because mm-hmm. our sponsorship helps us, you know, be able to do the Zoom stuff. You know, hopefully we'll eventually get to, you know, we get enough sponsorship that what I would ultimately like to do is start kind of doing like what Jason does with the Pain Assassins thing. You know, the money he gets from Pain Assassins, he just puts right back into the industry, being the belt and the awards and, you know, little things that he does, the banners that he gives out to guys. I'd like to, you know, hopefully we get maybe another one or two paid sponsors, you know, we got money coming in that we can do some giveaways. You know, if it's, you know, if somebody won't, you know, give us stuff, we can go and buy it and we can do a giveaway. Or maybe we can, you know, do whatever. So, I don't want it to be a sell you something kind of deal. You know, but we'll figure it out as it goes. I mean, it's, who knows, in a year's time, this podcast could be completely different than what it is right now. Never know. Yeah. So, all right. Let's see. What do you got, Jason? Anything? Anything you want to talk about?
I had a question and now I forgot it.
You suck. You're supposed to write it down. You're supposed to have your notes.
I know. I don't have my notes with me today.
Let's do this. Mike, let's have some fun.
Okay.
Since this isn't technically a Q&A, but let's have some fun with it. So I'm going to hit you with...
I remember my question.
Okay. All right. Go with it.
All right. So with this podcast being, you know, a negative into a positive, what do you want people to take away from this podcast?
First of all, before you sit down and write a review about something, something you really like, write the review in Microsoft Word and leave it there and sleep on it and get up the next day. And then decide.
Right.
But if you do make the same mistake I did, be a man, search them out, fix it. Exactly. Because these people, we all need each other's support. And that's very important. And life is about relationships. And I'm really happy you two have allowed me to cultivate a new and exciting relationship.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate that, you know, since that first thing, you and I have had a couple conversations over the last couple of weeks. It's, you know, it's been cool, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this. Let's give Mike his shot at a somewhat Q&A style podcast here. So Mike, I know you know these. I'm going to hit you with the this or that.
Okay.
So interiors or exteriors?
I can't say the process, can I? You know, I'm 6'4", 270 pounds. I got to say exteriors.
There you go. Rupes or flex? Because you mentioned you have both. So do you prefer one or the other?
Rupes has it 6-3.
Okay. Cleaning windows or washing and folding towels?
I have, first of all, I have a lovely mother-in-law that insists that after she's been well-trained on folding towels, she's going to do it. And I have a window cleaning system that I'm absolutely in love with. And the windows are no longer a pain in the butt except for the windshield.
There you go. So you pick windows then, I guess.
Yeah, I'll take windows.
Nice. So sun shots or lighted shop shots? And you've got a pretty nice lighted shop, so...
I'm going to go with lighted shots because when I bring the Brian Spelter at Apex Detail calls the sun his harshest critic.
Mm-hmm.
When I bring that car out into the sun, I know if it gets out of my shop, it's the sun.
It's going to look good in the sun. Exactly.
Yeah. It's going to look good in the sun.
Okay. So something that you probably have not done, but mobile or shop.
Even if I was a younger guy, I would devise a way to go 50-50. I would devise a way to offer a service. Again, it's about the process and it's a service-based industry. I would figure out a way to go mobile and also work out of a shop.
No, I can totally understand that. Left Twix or right Twix?
left Twix
or right Twix?
What does that mean?
You know Twix, the candy bar? Are you a left Twix or a right Twix?
I'm left-handed, so it's going to be
wax or ceramic?
Ceramic.
And then lastly but not least, the most important question of them all.
Oh Lord.
Are you?
I don't know the guy.
Team Alex or Team Noxie?
I don't know Mr. Noxie, so I guess I got to say Team Alex. I can't wait to meet him.
No, you don't need to meet him. He's
okay.
He's nothing special.
He'll throw a garbage can at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sounds like a grumpy old curmudgeon. I'd love to meet him. I love them guys.
Dude, nail on the head right there. I mean,
I've spent my whole career with them guys. I can handle it.
Yeah. No. He's a cream puff. All right. I mean, I don't really have a whole lot more to say. We're pushing an hour 30.
Okay, let's do this one for Marty. Beer or booze?
Oh. Beer.
Iced tea.
Beer.
Bombay Sapphire wins it every time.
Yeah, I'm an iced tea guy. I don't drink.
In New York, we have what we call Long Island iced tea.
Yeah. I've had one of those before.
Yeah, they're good. two of them, you can do anything you need to do.
Exactly. Goodness gracious. All right. So, gentlemen, unless somebody else got maybe something to say, Mike, I appreciate you doing this. Again, I almost appreciate the negative review that you left, because, again, turning a negative into a positive, that negative review has, given us, some things to talk about on this podcast. And then two, it led me to be able to have a conversation with you before the podcast, on the podcast. And now, I consider you a buddy, a friend, a compadre that, I look forward to, either being able to help you out if I can in any way, shape or form, or just knowing that, every time I put one of these things out, I definitely know another one of the faces to mm-hmm. the listens. Because again, like I said before, not everybody tells me that they've listened to it. Not everybody comments on it. But if I have ever feeling some kind of way, I know I could always reach out to you and be like, hey man, what'd you think of the last episode? Because Jason used to Absolutely. Be that. Jason used to be that guy for me, but I think now that Jason's on so many of them, he doesn't listen to a lot of them anymore. And so I can't, I'm like, Jason used to be that guy. Like, dude, you listen to it yet? No, not yet. Call me as soon as you listen to it. I got to know what you thought about it.
Well, half of them I'm on anyway. So
I know. Listen, I'm on all of them. I still listen to them.
how close are you guys to Sarasota?
Jason's real close. An hour and a half.
What about you, Alex?
Where's Sarasota at? Sarasota's
Sarasota's south of me.
South of you. So I'm probably gonna be 2 to 3 hours in, because
I'd say you're more towards the 3 hour mark.
Yeah, because we're depending on I-4 traffic, I'm anywhere between an hour and a half and 2 hours on. Well, we don't usually take I-4. We take 429 to the whatever. We kind of bypass.
You gotta get on 75 anyway.
Yeah, we kind of, when we go to Tampa, we try to bypass I-4 as much as possible. So it's an hour and a half to 2 hours just to get to Tampa. So if Sarasota is another hour and a half, it's about 3 hours easily.
We I may be spending the month of February in Sarasota next year. So
okay,
I'd love to look you all up. And
absolutely.
You know what you need?
My old ass needs to get out of New York for a little bit. I've worked in 29 cities and 13 states throughout my career.
Right.
And I always end up back here, and it's my home and it's where I want to be. But we have a my sister-in-law has a place in Sarasota, and she's in Switzerland most of the time. So
nice.
My wife and I may pack up, and because now my wife works from home, okay. We may pack up and spend the month of, I get a lot of vacation.
Right.
So I'd like to go around and meet you guys, meet some other people in the industry.
This would be my suggestion. If you're going to plan on coming to Sarasota, Florida in February of next year, I would suggest that you definitely come either end of January, beginning of February, and come to MTE in Orlando.
Yeah. Is it going to be in Orlando next year, or is it going to be in Vegas?
No, it's always in Orlando. Well, there's two MTE. So there's the main one has always been in Orlando. And then what was it? Vegas. Yeah, Sheldon said the Vegas one just was last year was their first year in Vegas, right? Yeah, that's what he said, right? Because you asked him which one was the better one, and he said they've only done one in Vegas. So So the one that's been running for 20 odd years has always been here in Orlando. And it's a shame that it was canceled this year because I thought it was gonna be pretty huge. But I think it'll just be bigger, better, badder next year. Mm-hmm. So, and that's always usually the first weekend in February, I believe.
Okay, great.
Seems to be. So yeah, if you're going to come down in February, I would say definitely come to MTE because not only
I will. I'd like to to have the experience and meet the people and
yeah,
it just sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a blast. It's a blast. Marty's there with Pints and Polishing. So that's, you know, he does the podcast live right there on the floor, which is kind of cool because, you know, not only can you sit there and watch it, but then you can go home and listen to it.
Right.
We were actually going to do one with him this year. He invited me to, you know, get on the list and do kind of a joint thing up there. So that was kind of bummer. But yeah, if you're going to be down, come and see us.
Yeah. And Jason, thanks for letting me into Paint Assassins. It's a great group. Some of the guy that won this month is that work is spectacular.
Oh yeah,
it's a great group of guys. That Jeep that was out this weekend, that black Jeep that kid did. Holy crap, was that awesome!
some great work.
Yeah, some really great work. It's a very nice group. Of the four or five groups I belong to, it's definitely the group I was looking for.
Thank you. And that's exactly why I wanted to create a group for that. It's for people like you to appreciate, you know, what the group stands for.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
It's great. Great group. I've said it before. I'll keep saying it again. If it wasn't for Jason, I wouldn't be in the position I'm at. His group definitely grew me. Put me on the right track. So Paint Assassins for life.
Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. So this has been a good podcast. Turning a negative into a positive, more shine, less shade, all that fun stuff that we try to preach as best as we can, I think has come through on this. Hopefully I think, you know, everybody else will listen to it. And again, you know, doesn't necessarily have to just pertain to what happened with this podcast. You know, think about how you can use that, how it happens in your business, how you look at other businesses, especially in the time of COVID. You know, people are struggling to get by, you know, no sense in killing somebody just because of a, you know, human error. It's all it was, human error. Bruno didn't drop any F-bombs, so we'll figure out some other way for him to donate a few bones.
Absolutely.
To some charity. I mean,
I'll just say fuck right now. There's one.
There you go. $5. $5. There we go.
I'm getting contact with Mike.
I said it this morning when I pulled into my job site and saw about $30,000 worth of damage from the windstorm we had last night. Oh, I did drop the F-bomb.
Right. Well, now because Jason did that, now I got to put the little warning at the beginning, and now I've got to hit the explicit button just to make sure that everybody who goes into this episode knows.
Hey, my F-bomb was for a good cause.
Yes, it was. It was. All right, gentlemen, I don't have any more to say. We're hour 30. I think that's a great time. Obviously, like I said, I don't want to go 3 hours. I want to start keeping these at a normal time that people will actually listen to them. So I appreciate it, Mike, again, for jumping on with us, taking the time, you know, not only for being on the podcast, but for talking to me about the situation. Thank you for understanding and taking the negative away and putting a positive in. If anybody would like to get a hold of you, how are they going to do it? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, OnlyFans.
I'm terrible at all this. Instagram is East End Auto Spot 585, and that's only a month old. My main Instagram page is Mike Hine 1. Facebook is East End Auto Spa. My main Facebook page is just for my family. So right. There's some good ways to get in touch with me if you would like to.
Right. And Bruno, everybody can find you at Paint Assassins across the board for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And finally went ahead and jumped on board with a Instagram for the podcast where pretty much I'm just posting a picture of the guest and then doing a link to the thing. So on Instagram, you can find the podcast at Detail Solutions Podcast. Pretty simple. Facebook, you can find us at Detail Solutions Podcast. And then you can find me at Alex Russell CDSV if you want. If not, I don't care. Whatever.
All right, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys. Thanks you very much.
So much. I appreciate
it. Great meeting you.
Yes. You guys have a great evening. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.